You're welcome to House of God, and today's sermon is titled Love and Love Again. So say love.
Love.
And love again.
Love again.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of today. Thank you for your words that we're going to share. Love and love again. In other words, we keep loving and loving all over. And Lord, we pray for the grace to be able to love and love and love again in the name of Jesus. Give insight to your word. Give understanding. Give clarity and give revelation, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. So Sunday, the 10th of February, we're looking at the topic, Love and Love Again. Praise the name of the Lord. Our text is going to be taken from 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. So please read, open your Bibles to 1 John 7 to 8. 1 John 7 to 8. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. I love it. There's even a song that goes, I don't know how many people know this one. It says, Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. So, we can all learn it. It's a very simple song. Hallelujah. If you don't love God, if you don't love, then you have no clue who God is. I'll repeat that. If you don't love, then you have no clue who God is. Love is the acid test of someone's salvation experience. So someone says to you, I'm a Christian. Someone says to you, I have given my life to Jesus. Someone says to you, I am born again. But they don't love. That means they have no clue what it means to be a Christian. Love is the acid test of the genuineness of our relationship with God. If we have a genuine relationship with Christ, there will be love in our life. If there's no love in our life, that means we don't have a relationship with God. That means we're not children of God. It is proof that we are born again. So I look at you, I say, show me your love and I will tell you who you are. Look at your neighbor, say, show me your love and I will tell you who you are. Say, show me your love and I will tell you who you are. Uh-huh. So if I don't see love, I can't say you're a Christian. It is only when I see your love that I can tell that you are a Christian. 1 John 3:15. 1 John 3:15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Can you imagine? The word hate is such a strong word. The word hate is such a strong word that if you look at the scriptures, it's so interesting. The Bible compares hate with murder. Because to be honest with you, the people that murder, it starts with hate, doesn't it? It is hate that is not controlled. And then it results in murder. So when you hate somebody, you might as well be murdering them. Because hate is such a strong thing. God compares it to murder. He says, whosoever hates his brother, whosoever does not love his brother, is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And the Bible says, no murderer would have eternal life abiding in him. Hate is so strong, God equates it with murder. Love and hate cannot coexist. You can't have love and hate in the same place. So if I say I love, and I'm harboring hatred for somebody, that means I don't love. Because if I love, I cannot love somebody and hate somebody. No, it doesn't work like that. If you're a loving person, you're going to love everybody. You can't hate people. Praise the name of the Lord. So what does the Bible say about murderers? You know, so that we know the consequences of not loving and when we hate. You know, what are the consequences of hating? What does the Bible say about murderers? Matthew 5:21. It says, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment." He says, "You have heard it said of old, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment." A murderer is in danger of judgment. Someone who hates his fellow person is in danger of judgment. What judgment? Judgment by God. When God judges, it's very stern. May we never go under the judgment arm of the Lord in the name of Jesus. What else does the Bible say will happen to murderers? What does it say about murderers? John 8:44. John 8:44. It says, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He says the devil is the father of lies. He was a murderer from the beginning, and no truth abides in him. He was a murderer from the beginning, and no truth abides in him. Can you imagine being equated with the devil? Anyone who hates his brother, anyone who hates his sister, anyone who does not love, can you imagine being equated with the devil? Because the devil is described as a murderer. The devil hates Christians with passion. And that's why we as Christians, we must not do what the devil does. We must love. Every opportunity you have to express the love of Jesus, please do it. Remember what House of God is about? What did I say last week? We are about?
Love.
We're about worship.
Love and truth.
And love is encompassed in what word? Relationship. Yeah, when you wake up in your dream, what is House of God about?
Relationship.
Worship and the word. Relationship is very key. And we're going to keep hammering on it as it becomes second nature to us, myself inclusive. Relationship is important, you know. So Satan, you know, is a murderer. And anyone who hates is equated with a murderer. Can anything be worse than being compared to the devil? That's what hate does. Hate puts that person on the same level as the devil. That's gross, isn't it? Isn't that gross? To be on the same level with the devil simply because of hate. You cannot afford to hate anybody. Galatians 5:20-21. Galatians 5:20-21. What do we know about murderers? Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. A murderer will not inherit the kingdom of God. Someone who hates somebody else will not inherit the kingdom of God. Haters will not enter into heaven. The question is there hate in your heart? Is there hate in my heart? I'm the only one that can answer that question. And you're the only one that can answer that question. Is there hate in your heart? Or is there love in your heart? Is there someone you can't stand? You wish they were dead. You wish something bad happened to them. You need to go and cross-check your Christian experience. Maybe it doesn't even exist. You need to go and search your heart because there must be no hatred for anybody in your heart as a bona fide, genuine child of God. Love is given to us as a new commandment. And we can read that in John 13, 34 to 35. John 13, 34 to 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Someone says, I'm a disciple of Christ. If I don't see love in your life, then I don't believe you are a disciple of Christ. It is only when I see love in your heart, it's only when I see love in your life, that I'm sure that you are a disciple of Christ. Jesus Christ says, it is by love that men will say, yes, this is a child of God. This is a Christian. It's only when there is love in your heart. So the question is, ask your neighbor for me. Please look at your neighbor for me and ask them, do you love? Ask them, say, do you love? What did they say to you? Do they love? Do you love? If you don't love, you need to go back again and work on that aspect of your life. Now the next question we have to ask ourselves is, what is the measure of my love? What is the measure of our love? Am I just going to love Sophie and then I say, okay, I don't love everybody else? Or am I going to love Sophie a lot and I love T a little bit? What is the measure of my love? I'm supposed to love generously. And the Bible tells us an example. It says Jesus Christ loved us so much. He gave his life. The Bible says God loved us so much. He gave Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ loved us so much. He laid down his life. The Bible says there's no expression of greater love than when a man lays down his life for his friends. There's no expression of greater love than when a man lays down his life. Where there is no sacrifice, there is no love. What have you sacrificed as a result of love? Where there is no sacrifice, there is no love. And the question is, what have you sacrificed as a result of love? If you say, I love, where is your sacrifice? You can't say you love me and there's no sacrifice. Anytime the word love is mentioned, the question you ask yourself is, where is the sacrifice? A husband loves his wife, where is the sacrifice? A sister loves her brother, where is the sacrifice? A colleague loves the other colleague, where is the sacrifice? There must be a sacrifice. What are you giving up? What are you giving up to express that love? There must always be a proof of our love. Praise the name of the Lord. And by the expression of our love, people can identify us as Jesus people. That's how they were able to identify the disciples in old. The love that they were expressing amongst themselves. The love was so much, you couldn't even tell who was who. They were so knitted together. Praise the name of the Lord. John 15, 12 to 13. John 15, 12 to 13. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Love is always sacrificial. Romans 12:9. It says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor, in other words, hate that which is evil. If there's permission given to us to hate anything, it is to hate evil. It is to hate evil. Cleave to that which is good. I'll read it in the Amplified Version. It says, let your love be sincere. Let it be a real love. Don't let it be superficial. You know, there are many people that profess to love, but their love is superficial. Let your love be a real thing. Hate and loathe what is evil. Hate and loathe all ungodliness. Turn in horror from wickedness. When you see acts of wickedness, run from it. Hate that which is evil. Let your love be a real thing. Let it be sincere. You know, there are people that profess to love you, but it's because they want something from you. You know, a sister once told me, "Oh, this man really loves me. He really, really loves me. He really loves me." I said, and then one day she told me that he was sick, that she came from another country. So she got here. She was a bit stranded, you know. So this guy, I'm not sure how they met up, but he housed her. But he housed her, and he was now taking advantage of her, you know, man and woman. So I said, and then she was saying, "Oh, he's a nice man." I said, "He's a nice man, and you are paying him. You know, paying him in kind for his." I said, "If he's a nice man, he should accommodate you without taking advantage of you. He knows you're vulnerable, and he's taking advantage of you, and he says nice. What is nice about it? If he really wants to show genuine love, then he should just accommodate you and not take advantage of you." And sadly, the man was. And she thought, "Oh, he's a nice man." I said, "He's not a nice man. He's a wicked man. He can see that you are stranded and he's taking advantage of you." Love shouldn't be like that. Love should be a genuine, a real genuine love, where we are not, you know, taking advantage of the people. No, it should be genuine. And there are people in the world today who claim to love, but they are, you know, taking something back. That's not love. Because when Jesus gave, what did he do? He gave everything. He gave everything to us. He wasn't even asking for anything. He said, "Just give your life to me and I will even take care of you the more." Praise the name of the Lord. "And I will take care of you the more." That's what Jesus said. Praise God. You know, I'm almost rounding up. Let's open our Bibles to 1 John 3:18-23. 1 John 3:18-23. It says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another." Everybody say, "Love one another as he gave us commandment." So don't just say, "I love you." "Oh, Sophie, I love you." "Oh, Joy, I love you." How will Joy know I love her? How will Sophie know I love her? There's always an action that backs up love. There must always be a sacrifice that backs up love. So the Bible says here, don't just love in word. Anybody can say, "I love you." So if I say, everybody say, "I love you, Pastor." So everybody say, "I love you, Pastor." Was that difficult to say? No. But does it mean anything? Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. It is by your action that I will know whether you really love me. Do you understand? So saying it is nice, but it must be backed up with an action. So he says in that text, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." It must be in deed and in truth. Listen to your heart. Your heart will tell you whether you are loving or not. When your heart starts to condemn you, if there's no love in your heart will start to condemn you. Then you will know. So listen to your heart. Is your heart saying to you that you're a loving person? You love people? When you walk in love, you receive whatsoever you ask of God. God is pleased with us when we love, because he is love. It's very important. When we walk in love, God is pleased with us. God is happy with us when we walk in love. He is not happy with us when we are not walking in love. Why? Because God is love. I want us to rise up. You know, I have said enough this morning on the topic of love. Love and love again. Bow down your heads and ask God. And say, "Father, please sow in my heart a seed of love." Everybody say, "Father, please sow in my heart a seed of love. Help me to love the way Jesus loves. Help me to love the way Jesus loves. Help me, Lord, to love the way Jesus loves. Sow in my heart a seed of love. Help me to fulfill this commandment.